Welcome to the Hoban Minute, a podcast that will shift your perspective on the business, politics, and culture of the hemp and marijuana industries. I'm your host, Xavier Jaye. It's 420 somewhere, so let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hoban Minute. I am your host, Xavier, and I am speaking and joining you today from our new studio in our new office. We just moved in on Monday. And unfortunately today, I am not joined as I typically am by Bob Hoban, but I am fortunate enough to be joined by Paul Trow, CEO and founder of Urban Inc. as a guest, and we're going to discuss the hemp-derived cannabinoid space today. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, man, it's not only great to be here with you guys, but I get to pop your cherry in your new podcast studio. Like, what an honor!
Truly, truly, and the digs are nice. We had a good studio before, but now we've really upgraded the soundproofing. Got some super comfy chairs that I'm plopped in, and I'm just excited to get some good content recorded here and kind of discuss what you've been working on with some of your products in Urban Inc. And so,
yeah, now, if only you could smoke in your studio like Joe Rogan and he did, you know, when he got off my trouble.
Well, that's when we still have to monetize the podcast. We haven't done that yet. So when we do monetize the podcast, get some money coming in the door, then we'll have our own building. We'll set up our own company. And that's when I stop pretending like I'm an attorney or, you know, working in the legal field. And I go and just host podcasts all day.
I love it. Oh, man. Both of those things are fun. So I don't know.
Well, so let's start with you and some of your hobbies. You know, you're in the cannabis, or I should say the hemp-derived space, which, as all of our listeners know, is a industry fraught with risk. And, you know, there's all sorts of trials and tribulations that industry operators deal with. There's all sorts of bad actors. There's charlatans abound, which I'm sure we'll cover today. But really, the space itself, and I think what defines hemp-derived cannabinoid operators is kind of a risk appetite that's greater than what we see in maybe traditional industries, right? We've got this area that's, you know, certainly federally legal, but there's a massive regulatory gap and kind of lack of, let's say, true guidance and oversight from, you know, standard government agencies that typical consumers of products look to for guidance, the FDA, the DEA, whatever ABC, you know, agency you want to name. And then there's the hemp kind of gray area, right? And there's operators like yourself that are pushing the envelope when it comes to products that contain, you know, compounds, ingredients, isomers, salts, derivatives, you know, whatever you want to call them, that are derived from hemp and that are federally lawful. And so I did note, Paul, that you have I would say in your personal life with some of the risks, you have a higher risk profile or appetite than someone like myself. I noted that you're a big skydiver. You like jumping out of planes. You like free falling. And you like feeling that adrenaline, I think, right? And so maybe you can tell me a little bit about kind of your path into the space and how maybe that risk appetite contributes to you kind of, let's say, stepping off the cliff and jumping into founding and starting a hemp-derived product company.
Sure. It's an interesting story, actually. I was going to retire after selling my last company, and I hung out with my friend Heather Fazio, who used to work for Marijuana Policy Project, and now she runs Texas for Responsible Marijuana Policy. And she's like, Paul, she's like, you know, the hemp bills got legalized federally, and we were out of the pilot program. You should really make products out of hemp-derived cannabinoids, you know, that are just as strong or stronger than Delta 9 THC in the regulated states. And I was like, yeah, Heather, but hemp doesn't get you high. And she's like, clearly you're ignorant and you don't know what you're talking about. And you're wasting my time. So we should really have this conversation after you do some research and then see what you think. I said, okay, fair enough. You're right. I am ignorant. I'm going to go, you know, and do a road show to all these different CBD trade shows and hemp trade shows and MJ BizCon and everywhere I'm going to go, the Emerald Cup, and see what's up and see if there's any interest there. So I took 2 years and I went from trade show to trade show, farm to farm, extraction facility to extraction facility, got thousands of samples, had my team, there was five of us, each person had a different category, and we all tested the products on the market. And I'm a lightweight. I get high off of, you know, like 2.5 milligrams of Delta-9 THC. So, you know, I had to do like the edibles and the drinkables. Everybody else did the smokables, the concentrates, you know, all the hardcore shit. And I have a second-degree felony. And I said, Heather, you know, I said, I can't risk anything. And she said, that's why you have attorneys. So we started the company, you know, with $10,000. I was like, you know, I'm an angel investor, so I know how quickly investment money can go. So I'm just going to throw $10,000 on my credit card. I'm going to build the best D8 vape carts on the market with the best terpenes. And I know it's going to be better because I've tested all the D8 carts on the market right now, including those from one of the largest brands like Ricci. And fast forward, I now have you guys, another attorney out of Denver, an attorney, a cannabis attorney out of Houston, as well as a corporate attorney, a litigator, and a criminal attorney, all at the ready. So since we have a hemp license, we can't really cross the line. I mean, you were on a receiving end, right, of a phone call where I got paranoid because I saw something that Bob or somebody in your office posted on LinkedIn. And I called you in a panic. I'm like, shit, Xavier, we're selling THCA. I'm like, what the hell? Am I going to go to jail? And you're like, calm down. You can't believe everything you read on LinkedIn. And you're like, let me do some research for you. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks. So with that, with the info from Rod and Andrea, you know, we decided to make the collective effort of moving forward. But I'll tell you, it's not without landmines. There's landmines going off all over the place, man. I think I was telling you this a little earlier. Farmers, you know, they're able to get a lot less for their marijuana cannabis on the regulated markets. So what they're doing is they're relabeling it and they're changing their COAs around so that it looks like it's high THCA and low Delta-9 THC. So it's legal in Texas. And I only found this out because we just got this amazing flower and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, there's no way this can be, you know, legal. So I start calling around and I find out that, of course, you know, they redact, everybody takes the QR code off. So you can't scan the QR code because nobody wants you going around them. Tons of brokers in the middle. Everybody's reselling everything these days. And so they take the QR code off and then they redact the name. They'll either, you know, use a black magic marker, or they'll just change the name in Adobe Acrobat Pro or Adobe Illustrator, whatever they use, to their name. So the only way really to get the accurate information is to call the lab. So we call Pinnacle, we call New Bloom, we call Greg at SD Farm Labs. We call all these labs, give them a sample ID. If there's no sample ID, then we go to the date of the test because they get, you know, an X amount of number of tests in every day. To date, I have not been able to find the true results of any COA that I've been given. And I moved away from the people that are selling us or trying to sell us an illegal product. And I gravitated towards the farmers that are legit and that have legit genetics. I talked to a geneticist, this guy, Justin Esquivel from Green Lester Phenos. He told me how it's grown, the process. I went out to a farm. I went out to Rad Hemco and checked out their stuff. I spoke with the owner, Justin. We shook hands, we went to lunch, you know, got to meet him, got to meet the master grower, saw the grow room, saw the, you know, the curing room. You know, you can only do as much due diligence as you possibly can. And what Rod told me was that, you know, the court is looking at intent. He's like, if you do all these things, you know, and it's still testing up hot, you know, something was wrong. You did everything you possibly could. You can't possibly be at fault. So, yeah, it's definitely a risk. It's a huge risk, actually. But, you know, the goal here is to get people to buy our products instead of smuggling them in from out of state, because that's what I did in 2005. I brought my medical marijuana THC pills in from L.A., where I still had a medical marijuana card. And I got busted in Travis County, which is like the most liberal county in Texas. It's the, you know, the county where Austin is. And they charged me with a possession of a second degree felony, possession of a controlled substance, THC, over 4 grams under 400. And that's a 10-year mandatory minimum here in Texas. And the reason why they're able to charge me for two pills is because in Texas, you can weigh the container in which the drugs were kept. So they charged me the pill bottle and the two pills weighed 4.9 grams.
Wow. Wow. No, and I think, you know, you had mentioned in the past that you did have prior charges. I hadn't realized that it was specific to, you know, medical products that you essentially had been prescribed in California and that you were bringing back to Texas.
Oh, man.
So that's quite the origin story, if you will.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mean, we get letters all the time. We get people on Instagram. We get, you know, people emailing into the support mailbox saying that they stopped smuggling their medicine, and whether it's somebody from a rec state or a medical state putting it in the mail, or it's them driving it in from Oklahoma or New Mexico, which are both, you know, legal states, into Texas. It's really, really dangerous. And my whole goal is, I was like, if we can save one person from going to prison, then it's, you know, mission accomplished. And
absolutely,
not only are we doing that, but we're helping multiple people, and we're turning a profit too, and we're employing more people, and the company's growing. So do we tax? Yeah, we tax. We definitely tax. But those taxes, you know, like that, the higher prices that we're putting on our products, it's because we're getting the best product possible on the market. You know, we just launched an exotics line a month ago. Nobody thought that because we sell our THCA 3.5 gram jars to stores for $25, and they turn around and sell it to customers for at least $50. And I put it into Slack with my team. I said, who wants to make me a bet that if we come out with an exotics line and charge $5 more because we're being charged more from the farmer, that people will pay it? And everybody bet against me. I was like, all right. I'm like, we're going to make a bet at the most expensive restaurant in Austin. It's like $400 for sushi omakase. If you guys lose, then you guys owe me a dinner. And not only did the stores buy the exotics line, it's selling better than the regular THCA line. So
and that's interesting. I think that's a whole area that people look at, you know, what's happening in the hemp drive space, everyone seems to focus on Delta 8, of course, because it happens to be grabbing most of the headlines right now. But I don't think people really focus in on the way that you're able to kind of mirror the inventory or the products and kind of the approach that people are finding in a licensed, you know, recreational medical marijuana state. And you're able to kind of provide those same services via e-com directly to them in a way that, to your point, you know, they're not going to get in trouble for smuggling any products. So I think it goes beyond, you know, people, I think, tend to look at the intoxicating hemp-derived space as, oh, it's just a bunch of, you know, I use the term cannabinoid cowboys. They kind of just go out there and they're looking to, you know, just shove as much THC as possible into the cheapest dollar amount vape cart. And that's not reflective of the entire industry. You know, there certainly are folks like that. And to your point, you know, they might be out there fudging COAs and doing other things that maybe are, you know, fall into a consumer fraud category. But then there's also folks like yourself that are really looking to just increase access and minimize potential harm on consumers, because, you know, it's crazy to me that someone would legally recreationally buy some cannabis in one state and then, you know, have a 10-year probation be the outcome of bringing that into their home state. It's awful. And that still is happening.
It comes at a cost to me because I have a hemp license, and in Texas, you have to give the Department of State Health Services the X and Y coordinates of where your facilities are. They have a 24/7 access to my home and to our warehouse. So I can't ever have anything illegal on me at all. And I used to like to do mushrooms, you know, I used to like to do Molly and stuff like that. And, you know, I can't do that stuff anymore. You know, I love mushrooms. Mushrooms are so beneficial. Microdosing is so beneficial, but you know, it's something I'm willing to sacrifice for this. I'll tell you, you know, a really funny story. Side note. We took our distributor. He does a lot of business for us. And we have radical transparency with this distributor. Radical transparency. Like, he knows the cost of our flower. He knows our profit margin. He knows his cut. And then he's reselling to other distributors. And then there's the wholesale price. And then there's the retail price. We show him everything. Because we want to show him that we're not making a lot of money here. You know, he's not making a lot of money. We're not making, nobody's making a lot of money, but we're doing volume, you know, so that makes up for it. So he's at dinner. He's a Syrian guy. And he goes, Paul, I have to be honest with you, Paul. I was like, yeah, what's up, Stefan? He's like, not a lot of people like you in the Austin market. I was like, really? Like, no. He's like, that's why my business is so big, because they hate you. And I was like, I know why they hate me. He's like, tell me, please, because I don't want to hate you. And I was like, they hate me, Stefan, because I'm coming into their stores when I'm delivering their boxes back when I was a one-man company, and I'm pulling product off their shelf, and I'm scanning the QR code, and I'm looking at, you know, they'll say it's got Delta 9 THCP, it's got HHC, it's got THCJD, THCB, THCX, whatever. And then I scan the QR code, and I'm like, hey, you guys, you know, just so you know, it's 90% V8, you know, like 2% HHC, and that's it. And you just look, you can see the little bar as it scrolls across, like, what's in it? I'm like, if you guys are just in it for the money, totally respectable. I totally get that. You have to feed your kids, definitely. But, you know, if you want to educate your customers and you want to be transparent with your customers, which is what we do, then, you know, you guys should be scanning the QR codes before you buy the product so you know what's in them. And then you can make a judgment call whether or not, you know, this is, you want to cross this integrity line or not. Apparently they don't like.
And I'll be a little contrarian. I'll be contrarian there too. And I think, you know, I don't really care if, you know, you have to make money and put food on the table for your kids. That's not a justification for, you know, putting out fraudulent products that potentially could harm someone, to your point. You know, I think it's like, if you're looking, we hear all the time about folks that consume CBD products inadvertently that contain THC, and then they have a massive panic attack and issue, and, you know, they're falling down and going to the ER because they're having a bad experience. But instead, you know, it's so important to have that kind of clear consumer transparency specific to these products. And that's what we've seen here in Colorado, is an uptick in enforcement, not related to the formulation of the products, not related to the actual cannabinoids inside the products, but related instead to the labels, to the websites of these companies, the claims that companies are making, oh, my product's all natural, or, oh, this is, you know, made in Colorado, when in fact it's made in Oklahoma and then shipped into Colorado.
Exactly.
And so we have, you know, we've seen kind of that uptake, and I think it's so important for the good actors to continue to kind of make a stink about that and push, you know, some of those charlatans out.
Oh, man.
Paul?
Yeah, go for it.
No, I was going to say, you'll be happy to hear that. Surprise guest, Bob did just sit down in his chair.
All right.
And we now have Bob on the line as well.
Hello.
We've got the big man in the house.
Exactly. No, it's good to be here. Sorry, I'm running late. I was actually, you're talking about bad actors. I was in a deposition today with what the state believes are bad actors on the production side. And holy smokes, it's a witch hunt, and it's a fishing expedition. And, you know, for those of us that understand this industry, the government equally does not understand the industry at all, to the point where they snicker and they smile when you say things about different types of products. And these are things that are, you know, we're used to dealing with, but at the end of the day, it's good to be here. And I'm picking up midstream, Xavier, so you're gonna have to drive this one.
No, of course. It's just good to have you on the mic, my friend.
Oh, man, please tell me you're not representing Bob.
I can't comment on anything like that at this stage.
These guys, oh man, they come out with such cheap products, and I ask them. They come out with a 90% THCA cart. And I've been formulating a THCA vape since December. Okay, so we're going on 7 months now, and I know that THCA in oil is not stable at room temperature over 50%. So the max we can get into ours is 50%. So I asked for their COA, and they sent me a COA that's like 99% THCA. And I show it to my buddy. I'm like, how is this possible? He's like, okay, first of all, he's like, that's not real. That came from our lab, and there's no way in hell that's what's in their product, because it would be solidified. He's like, that's actually our COA. So they had to send them. They had to send cease and desist because they were showing their COA, of course, redacted. And that's the kind of the stuff that we were talking about before you
well,
joined.
Well, yeah, and you know, obviously, you're quite familiar with, and this is part of the scenario. Fake COAs, fake pictures of allegedly transferred funds for down payment on products. Those days are better, but they're still not clean and clear yet. And ultimately, all of that just begs for regulation. Treat these companies like every other company. Don't relegate them to misunderstood or worse yet, black market status. They're not selling bath salts.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you, 90% of I can go into any store at any time and feel confident about pulling any product off the shelf and scanning that QR code and showing it to the store manager right there in front of them that what's in the COA is not what's in the product, any product. So I haven't found one product. I was at Champs trade show, which is like a smoke shop trade show that they do like two or three times a year. And I went up to this booth, this Pure Life booth. And he's like, oh, man, he's like, we've got a 2-gram disposable with, you know, THCP, HHC, and like, he's got 5 cannabinoids in there. And I'm like, man, I've got a 4 cannabinoid 2-gram disposable. How are you able to sell it into distribution at $7? He's like, I don't know, but it's moving. I'm like, you mind if I scan that QR code? He's like, no, go for it, man. And I scan the QR code, and it's all D8. I'm like, just so you know, the product has all D8 and has a little tiny bit of HHC in there, but it doesn't have THCP, it doesn't have THCJD, which I've never seen on a lab report, and it doesn't have THCB, which I've never seen on a lab report either. Like, and you know, fine, maybe they don't test for it, or they haven't bought the lab hasn't bought the standard yet, but just so you know, that's what's in the vape. He's like, well, he's like, it's selling, man. I'm just in sales, you know, I don't know anything. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. So I wanted to make a post on Instagram, but my sales manager stopped me. He's like, no, don't make a post because that's permanent. If you want to put it up on the story, go ahead and put it up on the story. So he took a picture of the Pure Leaf Jeffrey 2-gram disposable vape, and I put a copy of their COA on the next story. And then on our story, I put a picture of our Euphoria vape, and then I put a picture of our, of course, with the QR code attached, you know, from the SD Farm Labs right next to it. And I circle our cannabinoid list. I said lab results don't lie.
Yes, and that's a good lesson for anyone listening that might be a consumer of such products, is scan the QR code and check those COAs. But you know, Bob mentioned something interesting, right? He was talking about how these companies need and should be, and this industry should be regulated. And I want to pivot a little bit to the compassionate use program in Texas, because you're based out of Texas, and you've been working in the hemp space for a while now. And Texas, of course, recently accepted a round of additional applications for their low THC compassionate use program. Can you give me kind of high level, you know, your thoughts and opinion on that? And for the listeners, I will qualify. Essentially what this program is, it's a medical program. Patients have to be qualified by physicians, and it gives them access to cannabis, low THC cannabis products up to, I believe it's 1% THC.
0.5%.
Okay. So tell me, I mean, does that move the needle at all? Is this just, you know,
dude, hemp
plus a few percentages?
It's hemp.
Right.
You know, okay. I mean, and first of all, the whole doctor thing. Listen, man, I volunteered for Normal in California back in 95, okay? And there was a ballot, I think it was Prop 213, if I remember the name, the number correctly, maybe it was 290, I think it was 213, but we got a proposition, if we got enough signatures on the ballot, then in California, the voters can vote on medical marijuana. And I was doing my part. I was the only normal volunteer in Oakhurst, California. And I went around, you know, and in Oakhurst, California, it's pretty rural. But I was making video games at the time. And I knew practically everybody in the town. I think there was like a whole total of 10,000 people in the town. And, you know, and I talked to every single person. I got a shitload of signatures. But, you know, the proposition passed. We got medical marijuana. And the next year, all these doctors popped up offering prescriptions for medical marijuana. And I went in there. I went into the doctor. It was like $150. $175 for the first year, and then $150 for the renewal. And you know, now I'm seeing. And I walk in there with my X-rays. I walk in with my MRI with the MRI's technician or the radiologist interpretation of the MRI. And I showed it to the doctor in San Francisco, and she's like, first of all, I really appreciate you trying to cover my ass. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't want you getting in trouble with the law. She's like, it's not like that. She's like, it's nothing like that. She's like, you know, just from, you know, a medical perspective, use a dryer, vaporizer, or eat it. because if you want to use it medically, that's the only safe way. Otherwise, you're harming yourself. But if you just want to smoke to get high and do whatever, you know, then smoke. You know, smoke a joint, smoke it out of your mouth, do whatever you want. And so the same thing is happening here now in Texas. You got these doctors charging $150 to $200. And, you know, all you have to do is say you have PTSD. All you got to do is say it, you know, and come up with some type of convincing story to cover their ass. But it's the same exact thing. Like, I remember when I had to, oh, I moved to Los Angeles and I had to get a renewal. I went, it was a shady area of Los Angeles. I'm just going to put this out there, okay? So I go into this doctor because he was cheaper. He was like $50 or $75. And I go in there and, man, it was like, shady. Like, it was like a turnstile. They were just collecting the cash and giving them their authorization. Like, it was like 10-minute wait to like 5-minute like consultation. So it's kind of like that here. And I don't know why all these people are bothering with that, because 0.5% Delta-9 THC is honestly, it's hemp. The next farm bill, they're talking about raising it to 1%, which is going to be higher than Texas, for crying out loud. So it's a joke. You know, as long as you get a good brand that is honest and that has integrity and that tests and that, you know, does their own research, then yeah, then you're good. Most of the brands with the packaging with melting faces and bright colors and stuff like that, you kind of want to stay away from that stuff, because those are the people that are just out for a quick buck that will throw whatever cannabinoid in there just to say, you know, to make a quick buck, like you were saying earlier.
Right. And they're less concerned about, you know, providing meaningful access to people and consumers that actually need these products for
a quick medical reasons. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
All right. Well, so we've had a great conversation today, Paul. I've got one question for you, one to wrap this up. And that's specific to your prior career in video games. What about building video games, developing video games? How did that prepare you for working in the hemp space, if at all?
It didn't really, because it's completely different. You know, when you're in,
you weren't writing stories in GTA for maybe some drug deals going down or something like that.
No, I mean, I worked on the GTA team for Gremlin and for DMA Design. I did the deal with Sony. I did the deal with Rockstar Games. That's how we got it to the US. But no, I was on the biz dev side.
Got it.
Yeah. And, but in tech, it's completely different, because everybody knows how to sign NDA. Everybody knows what an NDA is. Everybody knows how to sign in. You know, it's like, everybody knows tech. Everybody knows the Google Suite. Everybody knows Microsoft Office, PowerPoint, like all that stuff. And here, I'm having to educate people on how to sign a PDF without it going through DocuSign. I'm like, no, it's built into Adobe, the free version of Adobe Acrobat. It's called Fill and Sign. You know, you just click on that button and you sign whatever PDF. So yeah, it's a lot of education, a lot of handholding. But you know, I've learned so much. I've never run consumer packaged goods ever, because I was on the development side and the publishing side of video games. So I've never had an inventory. You know, I've never learned any, I mean, I learned about just-in-time inventory in college. I learned about inventory management in college, but you know, that's all theory. Until you put it into practice in the field, it gets completely different. And today, I got to tell you, today was a busy, busy, busy day, because we're talking, we have a Pride event that we're doing on Saturday. We got two booths because we killed it at the last Pride event, and because we're LGBTQ and black owned, right? So our publicist says we're a PR's dream come true. If we only had a trans person, we'd have all the bases covered. But so,
well, and you're reformed, right? With that prior felony, I mean, that truly is the ultimate the ultimate profile for a leadership team.
We've got a good story for her. I'm just learning, and I tell everybody, hey, I don't know everything. You know, if you've got a better idea and you think you can convince me, I can get turned around in 30 seconds. Just debate me, you know, like give me data, because I'm a data driven guy. I go where the data is. Just don't give me, oh, I think this would sell better. No, can't run a company like that. So
I love it. No. And coming from, you know, putting that $10,000 on your credit card, bootstrapping the whole thing to today, I mean, it's you know, it's impressive.
We did $1.4 million last year. I mean, I wish our profit margins were better, but you know, we're getting there. You know, it's one step at a time. It's building a company, and we're not. We're, we, I I did a Seeking Alpha podcast last week, and you know, and Ellie, our PR girl, she's like, this is a great chance for you to, you know, to get investment capital and da da da. And the girls asked me, why should an investor invest in your company? I'm like, they shouldn't. I'm like, I'm an angel investor myself, and I wouldn't invest in my company. I put $10,000 on a credit card. I'm like, that's the only investment I was willing to take besides my time. You know, I've got my Bitcoin money, so I'm happy, baby. But no, you should never risk investors' capital because we can all go out of business tomorrow. They can change the law tomorrow. We'll all be out of business. I'm like, I would never invest in a company like mine. And I said, and there was like a long pause, and I'm like, oh shit, I think I just ruined the whole purpose. It's like talk before he thinks sometimes.
Well, no, I love that, and I think, you know, that's brought some great energy to this episode, man. So, you know, going from jumping out of planes and again developing video games to dumping $10,000 on the credit card and starting a CPG hemp derived cannabinoid business. I mean, that's an impressive path, and it's full of risks, as we've discussed today. And I'm, you know, again, just impressed with everything you've done with it. So
they've got your personal cell phone number. So if I ever get arrested, I'm calling you, man.
And we'll have a nice little, we'll redact that for the live episode. We'll pretend like you said it there with our little beep in. But no, man, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you today. Any final thoughts, anything you want to tell our listeners? Where can they find you?
First of all, thank you for helping with Thailand. I'm still working on those deals. Thank you for being there. Xavier, you pick up the phone every time I call, man. And honestly, just honestly, from the bottom of my heart, that's really hard for somebody that works in a corporate law office to do. And somebody with a law office with such high, you know, high respect and high integrity, and that represents such high value clients. So that means the world to me. And I want to tell anybody out there, if they're looking for representation in the cannabis market, you should definitely be using Clark Hill. We're on threaturbanbud.com, and it's spelled HERBANBUD.com.
Well, Paul, keep on doing the good work, man. And I wish I was here for the beginning. Look forward to connecting further. And that's all I've got. I came in late to the party.
Yeah, you guys are the experts, and I'm glad you're on my side, and we use your counsel because it's invaluable. And again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being there for us and for the people we serve. Because you're not just helping us, you're helping the entire community here in Texas. And it's a thankless job. It doesn't end when you send me the invoice. I just want you to know that.
And we couldn't do anything that we like to do day in and day out without folks like yourselves out there, you know, truly pioneering the space. So kudos to you, man. And thanks again for the great episode, Paul, and hope you have a great rest of the evening here.
Hope you guys do too. Thanks again for having me on.
Of course. Cheers. Thanks for joining us for another enlightening conversation. If you liked what you heard, hit that subscribe button to get all future episodes fresh out of the studio. Suggestions for topics or guests for the show, please send them to hello@bobhoban.com. And, as always, thanks to Benzinga for powering the Hoban Minute.